Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Cause they giving you the latest on everything on your playlist. This bet the safest from basements to greatness. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ram. Might think you fly, but ain't nice as my guys. Got eyes on the prize. So like and subscribe, we back in the booth. I think that they gon' eat this up. The ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and this is a new episode of Video Game Bang, a new beginning. Episode 501. Joining me, the man to my left, Curtis Fisher. What's up, man?
Man, I'm loving it, man. Summer League is here. New 2K coming out soon. I know we're going to talk about it. You know what I mean? I'm just excited, man. That's all.
We're going to have... So, since we don't have Emma and David on the show, that means we can do whatever we want.
Do what we want.
Last time this happened, we had a Prince episode.
Yep. We sure did.
This time, we might just have to break down all the off-season moves that the Kings have been making.
Hey, we might have to, because they've been making moves.
Joining us is your roommate... Also, not a Kings fan, though.
No.
Laker fan. So he has that going for him. What's up, Malik? How you been?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me. And, I expected some Kings hate. But I actually do have a love for the Kings.
Hey.
I do. I'm not one of those typical Laker fans that automatically have, like, a hate switch for the Kings.
I feel like we have a common enemy now with Golden State.
Absolutely.
I think everybody just kind of doesn't like them.
Yes. Pretty much. You got it right.
I can agree.
What is going on, Nexi? Welcome to the show.
I know nothing of this.
Oh, we're talking sports.
I'm just here. No.
No?
I grew up in a very sports-centered family. Like, my dad is obsessed with sports, and I'm just kind of here. Well, no thanks.
You got other things. So you have other redeeming qualities though, because I've been following you on social media. You're talking about making your own video game.
Yeah. I don't know why I would do that to myself, because apparently I have self-destructive tendencies. And
I'm very curious on what's spinning around up there. Anything you could talk about, or is it all NDA?
I mean, I'm like doing live streams talking about. All of the plot and everything that we're making, and so nothing is 100% for sure for it, but basically just a little game about cryptids and humanity. So
what?
Yeah.
So cryptids?
Cryptids. So if you don't know what a cryptid is, it's basically a creature who their existence is kind of questioned, whether or not it's possible for it to be alive. Like, probably the most famous cryptid is Sasquatch.
Oh, Bigfoot.
Bigfoot, yeah.
Okay.
What
about, so like, Chupacabra?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Kraken.
Yes.
Okay.
The Kraken.
Yeah. So basically, it's creatures similar to that. And they're trying to change humans into being cryptids and attempting to save humanity from itself.
I had
but
no
there's
idea.
there's a lot of plots that are gonna be
so
kind
we
of
can expect some
slowly.
Twists.
Yeah.
Heavily story based.
This is getting, to quote Detective Pikachu, this is getting very twisty.
That's cool. I didn't even know this was in your skill set. I'm super excited. What are some of the things you're gonna do to hold yourself accountable to make sure this happens? Because I've known plenty of people who want to do games. I've wanted to do it myself. Mm-hmm. And then you realize how much actual work it is.
Oh God, it's so much work. But I have my entire community backing me with this, and they're putting in so much of their input. And I really think that building this, not just myself and having everybody kind of be part of it and put in all of their ideas, and some of my viewers are even doing concept art for it, even though we did a single stream where we talked plot ideas for 2.5 hours, and that's all that we've done so far for the game, and yet people are already doing concept art and wanting to put in like polls for how things should be. And so I think that's really gonna push me to make this for them and actually do it.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Big part of community is accountability. So that's good.
I'm holding myself to it. I'm not going to do it like my last game that I made.
Wait, you made a game before already?
Yeah. Most
yeah,
of
like
a
it's
game.
Common knowledge, of course, Corey.
Most of it.
Haven't you heard of Skyrim?
Yeah. But I started developing a 2D. Dungeon crawler. It was a top-down roguelike, and I made it probably about 90% through development, and then I just kind of stopped.
Jeez.
Yeah. And all of that information is still on my old computer, and I could pull it up and get working on it again, but there were too many bugs that I didn't know how to solve at the time. So,
well, I think what's going to have to happen is the VGB crew and our listeners are going to have to also jump on board and help keep you accountable.
Oh yeah, I'm going to need it.
So expect some messages from me for progress updates. I think I'm just going to become the director here. I'll be the producer. I will finance up to a, and then I'll take 30% of the profit.
Cool.
You sound like a real producer.
No, thank you.
Speaking of which, we got some news. Let's just jump right into some of the hotter topics because we have a big news week. The guy, the head honcho over at Epic Games, mm-hmm. came out in a tweet about Shenmue. So Shenmue 3 backers won't get Steam keys at launch, but refunds will be available. So Shenmue 3 was a game that was crowdsourced,
okay.
and then decided along the way that they were going to go exclusive to Epic Game Store.
Oh, okay.
And so we've talked about this before. Epic is already planning on making the margins much more appealing for game developers, getting rid of kind of the standard 70-30 split
right.
that Steam likes to give everybody. And so in a tweet, Tim Sweeney said, Epic is funding the cost of all Kickstarter refunds resulting from Shenmue 3's move to the Epic Game Store so that refunds won't reduce the developers' funding.
Wow, really?
Good guy, Epic.
Holy crap.
Followed up in a tweet says, when future games go Epic exclusive after offering crowdfunding rewards on other PC stores, we'll either coordinate with colleagues at the other stores to ensure key availability in advance or guarantee refunds at announcement time.
What made them want to take the bullet? Jeez, they stepped right in front of it.
Well, I think it's really cool because, you know, we've been reporting on this for a while, like we said, and it's something that the industry needs. It'll help. Right. Like the article I was reading, a really good one, was saying that it was actually from GameIndustry.biz, and it was based off of an interview from a panel from a developer from Paradox Games,
okay.
who gave more detail from a developer perspective. Mm-hmm. And what he had said is, like, in other forms of industry, like VHS mm-hmm. releases and things like that, a 70-30 split was more accepted, but there was a physical product.
Right. Mm-hmm.
At this point, they're just hosting the store, and those margins just kind of never went away.
Right, yeah, it's like a archaic business model that kind of rolled over into this age of media.
Yeah,
yeah, but it doesn't totally apply. The overhead is different. There's not a tangibility, so to speak, to the product. You're using server space.
Yeah.
Big whoop.
It's funny though because there are just still some people who hate this.
Yeah.
And so on that tweet, like the top upvoted comment, I just picked on this guy. His name is Miowski Katovich. And I went to his profile just to kind of check it out. He doesn't seem to be like anybody. He just has lots of pictures about his cat. So he's kind of like, he's got an opinion.
Okay.
And he says,
who doesn't these days?
I know, it's Twitter. He says, what if you shut down your entire company instead, please, Mr. Tim Sweeney? I used to be a fan. Gonna be at least 10 years before I even consider giving $5 to Epic after all this BS. And it's a little too late.
Oh my God, $5. What are they going to do? Oh my God.
It might close down. Well, file for Chapter 11.
It's just funny how someone would get so heated over this. He continued on because I was like, okay, that's a weird angry response. Did he ever go into like, what are you upset about? Because you would think if you love a game developer, you want them to get as much margins as possible.
Naturally, yeah.
But this guy says, go stop making excuses for a company using money to make others break promises repeatedly, all to get people to use their inferior store that can't stand on its own.
Man, I'm so upset that I can't play Overwatch on Steam. That's such a pain. Dealing with the Blizzard store. Oh, my God.
Right. I better go buy more cat food. I don't know what's going on with Homeboy. I don't know what got his kittens in a twist, but... He's hot about something.
Well, absolutely. He's upset about breaking promises. Like, so I was looking for, like, what are you upset about exactly? What's the key of your issue? What would cause all these people to bomb reviews and stuff and try and, you know, drag Epic through the mud?
Right.
And he boils it down to they're making people break promises.
Oh no, Lord forbid.
Shenmue promised it would be available on Steam. It promised. What?
Oh, man.
Dude needs to get out more and leave his cat. For real? Are you kidding me right now? This is a catastrophe.
My God.
Next stop.
I need to ask him if he's feline fine.
It's too strong.
Wow. Oh, man. Our live studio audience did not like that one.
You know, I have heard no better response from that.
Jeez. But I don't know. I still don't get it. I don't get it.
Me neither. I mean, beyond the obvious, like, okay, you aren't able to buy it in Steam. Lord forbid you download one more godforsaken application to acquire the thing that you want to play.
Everybody has the Epic Store. Everybody plays Fortnite.
I mean, so even I have the Epic Store, and I even played Fortnite one time.
Yeah.
True story.
Dude, I used to play Fortnite like 2 years ago, and like I still have it downloaded. I don't care. Like, it's just there.
Yeah.
It's just part of being a PC gamer that I think is pretty annoying, and, you know, hopefully that we get a solution for it. But right now, like, Steam is going to have my business for quite a while. I already own most of my games on there. Mm-hmm. Epic, you know, that's a thing. Origin, all the EA games, you have to have the Origin launcher. Blizzard has its own launcher. It's just kind of a nature of the beast at this point.
Yeah, everybody's got their own platform. So, you know, jump on the one you want to have some fun off from.
And I'm sure Blizzard and Origin and them making those are a response to not getting killed by those margins. You know, they host their own, and those things aren't, you know, that it's all them.
Right, exactly. Straight to their pocket.
Yeah. So it's a free market out there, you know, and that's how these things will level themselves out eventually.
Right. I almost made a comment that I shouldn't make. Next story.
Well, this one goes into your world.
Way to catch yourself.
Yeah, thank you.
Caught himself.
I've been working on that.
Take the lead on this one. Walking Dead. The comic books have just kind of ended abruptly?
Yeah, this one's pretty interesting. So last month's issue of The Walking Dead, 192, this is not a spoiler for the show, but spoiler alert for the comic, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Rick Grimes died in the last one.
Wow.
Yeah, they finally killed Rick. Really? Yeah.
Was it at least in a cool way?
I mean, it was. I will say
died of dysentery.
that probably would have been cooler than the way he did die. For me, not being a fan of the comic, I don't like massively dislike it, but I'm not a fan of it. But it was consistent with how things operate within that world that Robert Kirkman has created. So, you know, I mean, he didn't get killed by a zombie or a walker, whatever you want to call him, but he got taken out, and it was in dramatic fashion, you know what I mean? So for the people that did watch it, it hit him in the way that it should. But the thing was is that there was already solicits and whatnot going out for like August issue of The Walking Dead in September and whatnot. So when we got this news, it was really, really sudden that it's just going to end at 193. Robert Kirkman had just put out a statement talking about, you know, like, hey, it was a bold move, and I thought about it a lot to finally kill off Rick. And I know, you know, he's kind of the main, I mean, not kind of, he's the mainstay and not the only character you guys have been, growing attached to, but, you know, he's the main guy. So just, thank you for walking with me down this journey. I promise that I'll continue to make the story really good. And so everybody was like, okay, we're gonna ride with you. We're gonna see where this goes. And then we get this. So it's really, really
the final one.
It's the final one, 193. So it's gonna be 71 pages long. So he's not gonna fully cut everybody short. He gave himself a little bit more room than Benioff and Weiss did to kind of wrap this thing up. Sorry for the I had to throw a dig at Game of Thrones real quick. It's still gonna be $3.99 too, by the way. For anybody that doesn't know much about the Walking Dead comic, Robert Kirkman is the writer and the creator. It's been going on, 15 years now. That's crazy. And he's been the sole writer of it. I think the artist might have switched a few times. Here's a quote from him, actually, talking about this recent occurrence. And he was just saying, you know, I'm going to miss it as much as you will, if not more so. It breaks my heart that I had to end it and we have to move on. But I just love this world too much to stretch things out until it doesn't live up to what I want it to be.
Yeah. Which I think if you ask people, it kind of has, like, kind of been oversaturated by the TV show. The TV show audience has really drifted away from the show, and it's just so repetitive. And
right.
And I still watch it every week, but
word.
I'm getting there.
and that's the funny thing, like, you know, because me, I'm one of those people where it's like I want a good story to have a good start, a good in between, and then a good end. Like, and when you drag it out too much, like, you start to see, and it kind of starts to, you know, lose a little bit of flavor and whatnot. But something that's interesting and people are taking note of is that as they are filming currently the 10th season of The Walking Dead right now, and, you know, the reports already came out that they're going to spin Rick off until his own show. You know, people have kind of already heard about that, and they talked about they have no plans of killing him off in the TV show, obviously, because of the spinoff. But Robert Kirkman and the producers of The Walking Dead have been in a lawsuit and case against AMC because apparently they believe that they weren't getting the full correct split of the rights and the money.
Is that right?
Yeah. So actually, I guess there was an initial suit back in 2017 by one of the showrunners that eventually got fired, but one of the previous showrunners, and it looks like they ended up settling that one. But this is a $300 million, according to Deadline. A $300 million lawsuit.
Jeez.
So, you know, I think, you know, if you put two and two together, we're suing them again. This one looks like it's going to be going on longer. Why don't I just stop giving them content to create the show off of and put the squeeze on them?
So you think that was probably the comic book, right? This is the second time we've seen this because remember we were talking about just a few weeks ago.
Right.
The X-Men.
And that's a very similar thing with them finally bringing Jonathan Hickman back to start the X-Men line all over again, only because they finally got the rights over from Fox. And they did the same thing with Fantastic Four and X-Men. They pretty much just stopped their books, wrote them out, and until they got the rights back from Fox, Disney just kind of had them out on the curb.
Dang. I think this was pretty cool, though, of The Walking Dead to go through such great lengths to preserve its ability to genuinely shock its readers.
Yeah.
Like, it went above and beyond. So I'm assuming when Rick died in that issue, the idea was that you were going through not expecting that to happen.
There wasn't
much in there that would lead you to believe that would happen. And then they had created, they went so far as to make fake art for like another 10 or something to keep people.
Could have easily been the case. Like I in hindsight, I see that now.
Yeah.
Because the way that he talked about it, even when he put the statement out, it was like, okay, so the story's going to continue with Rick's son? It just kind of didn't... It could have went that way, but it wasn't fully earned. So it makes sense that it is shutting down now. But I don't know, man. Follow the money. $300 like for you to just sit back and not keep working on that stuff, or $300 million. So yeah, I think the writing's on the wall, and it's going to be interesting to see how this lawsuit goes. And I think everybody, you know, viewers like you, Corey, is going to be interesting to see where that spinoff goes and where Walking Dead ends
up. Yeah. I think the one thing I read was there's a local comic shop owner here that does Comic Command Center, and he went to his personal Facebook just to kind of lament.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was kind of upset from his perspective because he just ordered the same amount of Walking Dead comics he normally does.
Yeah.
And it's a huge opportunity for lost profits, you know, for the stores because now everyone's going to this, you know, trying to get their hands on this issue, and they didn't account for this.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and that's that's going to be, well, you know, they'll continue to order it, but it's true. I mean, when you put your order in as a comic book store owner, you're also expecting to make that money back because you got bills to pay. We already know comic book industry is struggling right now.
Yeah, 100%.
The movies are not encouraging nearly as many people to buy comics, so it's struggling. So for a store owner, it hurts. And same thing even for Image, you know, like Image Comics, you know, which who publishes The Walking Dead, their creator owned, you know, like type deal, so they just take their cut for publishing it, but they also, you know, are going to take a hit from this too.
Yeah,
so it's going to be interesting to see. But I do remember some things that didn't get put in here. Kirkman was talking about different ways to kind of keep the sales flowing and different things, so we'll see. But ultimately, right now, to me, it's looking like the lawsuit is what's bringing things to an end with the comic. And everybody out there, you better go buy issue one.
Go get it. Yeah. Leak, we got some news just for you, man. We knew you were coming. And and the good people at 2K, our friends, must have known as well, because they decided to release the cover athletes for this year's 2K20. Who did you get?
So there's a couple of different versions that they're putting out. The main one is going to have Anthony Davis on the cover.
Oh, the brow?
The brow.
Your boy now, right?
He was just traded to the Lakers, right?
Yeah.
Tell me why they got this dude still wearing the Pelicans cover. So that's one. And then they also have a Legends edition with Dwayne Wade on the cover. And
So they're continuing that because they did a Legends. Is that just what they do now?
They've done it the last 2 years, I believe.
Okay.
Maybe even three.
I think it's the last three.
Okay, yeah. And D-Wade's on the cover. He's got his... Now, I personally love these Miami Knights jerseys. And, you know, they did the whole background with it. So I really like that cover. I really like that one.
That's my favorite, too.
There's three of them. The other one's just varying price as far as, you know, getting additional VC with it or some My Team packs. So, you know, they got a couple different deals. But, yeah, 2K's coming out. It's exciting times.
What's which cover are you going for, Curtis?
I'm definitely going for the D-Wade one because, yeah, I love the old school 80s, like neon pink, neon blue, Miami Vice, you know, style jerseys. I forget that old arena that they had, but it had, like, that same 80s font and whatnot on it before down in Miami. So I really dig it. I think what's also interesting, if you look at the covers, I think that there's a few things that I noticed that kind of, like, pop out. Because one of them, I think it's the Anthony Davis one, I noticed that there's a train in the back. And something that a lot of people that play 2K have kind of wanted things to go back, where you had different neighborhoods. Because right now, you know, we have the one neighborhood. You know, if you're using the My Player mode, the career mode, you know, the story mode, you know, so to speak, in 2K19, then once you get to a certain point, once you actually get into the NBA, then you go into the neighborhood where you can, you know, play other people playing My Player and whatnot.
Get a haircut, buy clothes.
Yeah, get tats, all that stuff. But you stay within one neighborhood. There's like one or two places, I think, like the cages are where you go out. But that's it. You stay within the neighborhood. And I have a feeling that the train might symbolize a way to go to different neighborhoods now and kind of break it up a little bit.
Okay.
Which would also, you know, kind of... I mean, I won't get into the back end of like how that may affect the servers, but that was an interesting thing. I also noticed that on Anthony Davis's, I think they got there's like a 59 in there, and I believe it's when he scored, like he was the youngest player to score that many points, or 50.
Okay.
Yes, 50, and I believe, I think he's still the youngest player to ever score 50 points. So they're dropping little nuggets and little hits and stuff on the covers.
There's a little more to it than just throwing a dude on the cover.
Yeah, that's a good eye, Kurt. I didn't notice that training in the back.
Oh, and finally, the last thing, there's also a ladder there, and I remember that that there was something about scissors, so I think it also might lend that we're going back to college. You know, because that's where else would you use scissors and a ladder in basketball unless you're cutting the net? You know, when you win the chip.
That's right. That's a good call. Yeah, absolutely. I haven't thought of these things, Curtis.
Whatever happened to NCAA basketball games? Are there any like top tier ones out there? Because that used to be a thing.
Nobody releases them on any major platform at this point.
Does the collegiate? Who runs it? The NCAA? Who have they sold the rights to anybody? Does anybody own those?
That's a good question. I'd have to speak to my lawyer before I answer that.
And and so would the NCAA, because they got enough legal issues with right. how they're not yes. playing players right. and all right. And all that stuff.
So collusion. Overall, I think there's definitely something to do with business that's preventing the college games from coming out. And I did love those games. And I remember also, you could even transfer your college player into the NBA game and get them drafted. Oh,
that's right. They did that.
Now, that was something that EA Sports did with their NBA Live game. Word. So I would be very interested in something like that, or if 2K just wants to expand all the way
right.
and add a maybe have you in, you know, high school for one last game.
Right.
You know, then play a game. You get scholarships based off of that game that you play. Mm-hmm. Oh. And then you choose the school that you're going to go to. And then you play, you know, have you play like three games in that, you know?
That makes sense,
you know,
bro.
Or start the March Madness. That's where you would start at the beginning. Your team would make it into the March Madness.
Right.
And then you would go through, you would play each game. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, what, 8 games, 9 games?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, well, something like that, yeah.
All right, Nexi, I'm pulling my funding from your game and investing it all in the Malik's game. I'm sorry, Nexi, you're on your own, kid.
Hey, I was on my own to begin with.
I'm really sold on, I want March Madness in my 2K. Yeah,
dude, it sounds very plausible. Oh, and another thing to note, speaking of rolling mm-hmm. kind of different leagues in, the WNBA is officially in this game as
Wait,
well.
Wait, what?
They,
how?
Yeah, they did. They showed it. How, we're not sure yet, because we've only seen like very limited mm-hmm. bits and pieces. Yeah. They put out a trailer to the game, and if you watch the trailer, or it's more of like a teaser, not a full trailer, but you do see many WNBA stars, the court, and all that stuff too.
Wow.
So,
they've
rolled that
That's
in.
Awesome.
I wonder if they're going to go so far as to put like the legendary teams in there. We get Monarchs back.
Yeah, that's what they're interested in doing. Yeah, they're thinking of, from what I've
Tina Pinichero.
There's this guy named iPod King Carter. Shout out to him on YouTube. He's got like a, you know, kind of like a little in with the 2K company, and he gets some information, and he's you know sharing it, and he definitely said that they're definitely looking to add like the old school WNBA squads, mm-hmm. also. The My Player also will now, they'll have a female version as well.
Okay.
So women can make their My Players and then come into the park and ball as well, you know? Word. So,
oh, that's
yeah,
sick.
It's going to be extra lit, you know?
Yeah. That's really crazy, because cool. something that I've been noticing lately on Twitch is there's like a band and like a contingent of like female 2K players. So, I mean, as enthusiastic as I'm in there, and they're like, you know, they're out there balling. It's cool. They got their little clicks and everything. So I'm thinking like, they're probably going to be pretty stoked that they can finally make, you know, play, you know, a player, yeah, you know, and it's a lady.
Representation matters.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't yeah. In that case. And, but in most of it's funny. It's just, I think 2K is trying to expand. And I think not this one, but I think the next one after this, they're going to hit the sweet spot. Cause you know, whenever you incorporate like something that you haven't had mm-hmm. in a while, you got to hit like those bumps and those bruises and those roadblocks. But I think the one after this is going to be the one.
Yeah.
That is
so
exciting.
Nexus, if you want to dust off those hoop skills, you know, you definitely come run
dust
with us.
Dust off. They were never there to begin with.
Okay. Yeah, I just remember you telling me that you were beating your dad in 2K prior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So we got another bit of news. Okay. I'll let Nexi kind of take the lead on this one, because she was educating me on it. Apparently, there's a cosplayer that's selling gamer girl bathwater.
19-year-old Belle Delphine. She's pretty smart. She works. Like, she knows what she's doing.
So, what does she do? How does she make... Is she a streamer on Twitch?
I don't think that she's a streamer. She's just a cosplayer. She's pretty famous on Instagram.
Okay.
But she is known for being a massive troll. But she's, like, kind of promoting it in a way to target the certain audience of very... naive, desperate men.
So she's like, so there's two ways to look at it. There's one is she's being like the ultimate like profiteer mm-hmm. off of whatever she's doing, and then the other side is that she's exposing this subculture of people who are desperate and weird.
Yeah, when she sends out those orders of her gamer girl bathwater, which are $30, by the way, $30 each. Dude, she's making bank. She knows what she's doing. But she's also gaining the addresses of these guys, so like she knows where to avoid them.
Yeah, so she's selling it through like her personal store. Yeah. It's like an Etsy type thing, and she actually, I mean, she says she bottled her own bathwater, sells it for $30 a jar, and it's
legitimate bathwater.
There's a note on her website that said, "Bottled while playing in the bath. This really is bathwater. Disclaimer: this is not for drinking and should be only be used for sentimental purposes." Which, knowing, you know, kind of internet culture, that's just asking people to buy it and then do YouTube videos where they drink it.
Drinking Belle Delphine's bathwater is going to be all over YouTube.
Yeah, pretty much. Any day now. Any second now.
Squiggles in chat says that she started a troll Pornhub account. That's also part of the... Yeah, so she, I guess, put a picture out on Instagram and said, if this gets 1 million likes... I'll start an upload to a Pornhub account.
Yeah, and on that account, there are 12 videos, the longest one being just under 3 minutes, with 5.6 million views in total. All of them are so downvoted because everybody was feeling so, like, butthurt about it, being like, "What, you promised us a Pornhub account?" And she's like, "Well, yeah, I did. I kept up to that promise, but... I'm not going to do porn."
So she doesn't do porn. It's a bunch of troll titles, though.
There's a... Yeah. I don't want to say the titles. My mom is watching.
You know, okay, don't worry. I'll do it for you. Hi, Nexie's mom. one of them is called "PewDiePie Goes All the Way Inside Me." That was the one that has the most views on it. And basically, it's her holding a picture of PewDiePie. And then
eating
it. Yeah, she eats it.
She just eats it.
So PewDiePie goes all the way inside her.
I guess so.
The other one was called like Belle Delphine stroking two cocks, where it's like a minute of her playing with a couple chickens or roosters. So that's kind of what she's doing.
Oh, bruh. I know they felt salty all the
people
that gave that picture.
They were like, there have been such, like, genuine responses to it, being like, "How could you do this?" One of them was literally talking about, like, "How could you do this? You were the only thing that was, like, keeping me alive. Like, I had so much hope in this, and I was, like, feeling so, like, excited, and then you do this, and now I just don't feel like living anymore." And I'm just like... Dude, go outside.
That has to be touch a boob, bro.
Touch a boob.
I think that has to be people heavy trolling right back.
It has to be.
I don't know about that, dude. Some of these people, they're just constantly on Reddit talking about how they can never get women. Like, that's those guys.
Well, buying bath water ain't gonna get you. Taking a bath might.
Which brings us to the new Video Game Bang Patreon exclusive.
Right.
Curtis's bathwater, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I just volunteered him.
There you go. Hey, and $30 is cheap. Y'all want this? It's $100 a pop. I give you 16 ounces of the greatest, freshest, most pure Curtis bathwater you've ever seen. You're welcome.
I don't know. So is she a hero, Curtis? What do you think of this Belle Delphine?
Is Belle a hero? Nah, she ain't a villain though. Neither. Hey, hey. This is when you ask for these types of things. When you ask for it,
you're gonna get them. You're gonna get them from her.
Damn right.
In some way or another, it's like read the fine print.
Or don't.
She finds a loophole. She works completely like... It feels like a lot of her stuff, she just works on technicalities. But she's not doing anything wrong. She knows her audience, and she knows that she can get away with this stuff. She's brave enough to do it. Like, there's certain things in her past that have been super controversial. Like, she has stolen nudes from sex workers and sold them when she was 17 years old. So, yikes.
Dang. Like, wait a minute. How did she sell other people's nude photos? How does that work?
I'm not entirely sure.
On her website or something?
Nexie wouldn't know because, like, Nexie's not a criminal.
Oh, my goodness. So, She's done some pretty like controversial things, like cosplaying as a 12-year-old who from the film Lolita. It big yikes. If you guys don't know, just
I don't
Google
know.
It.
What is it?
I don't know.
Lolita?
Lolita. So
is this an anime?
No, it is a live action film, I believe. I don't know much about it. I only know the general idea is that this man who's like probably 30 something years old is preying on this 12-year-old girl and then becomes her stepfather and like all of this weird stuff. And she ended up cosplaying as that girl and captioned it, "If you know, you know." And I'm just like, you can't
so Corey,
do that.
I take back what I said about her not being a villain.
She's a villain.
She's a villain.
She's a villain.
She does have smart marketing techniques, but those are just really controversial things. Like, she is very smart. She knows what she's doing.
Hey,
like,
Corey,
I,
she's a smart villain.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So she does. Yeah. She seems like she's an interesting person. But all in all, hey, everybody that asked for this got yeah. theirs. That's the way I see it.
She's done some things, but I got to give her props. Like, oh my gosh, that is incredible business.
Yeah, and the people that fell for that, you know, you gotta level up next time.
I think it's one of those things because we were, doing research for the show, of course.
Right.
You know,
yes.
So I went to the website and the water was sold out. So
yeah,
I mean, take an entire bathtub, fill it with little cups, and sell each one for $30. That's some dough right there.
Yeah,
probably a little bit of dough. Pay some rent.
Next up in the news, a big man, the machine just keeps on turning for Fortnite. Another big crossover. They're working with the people at Netflix doing a Stranger Things crossover.
Oh, wow.
And as per usual, no announcement. People are just playing the game. And in one of the areas, I think it's called Mega Mall or something like that, there popped up these portals that look just like the ones that take you to the Upside Down. Unfortunately, when you go into these ones, they only teleport you to other portals that I guess are around the map.
Okay.
But it looks like, the show's coming out on July 4th. Mm-hmm. So there's expectation that tomorrow when people log on, there's going to be skins from the show or different props or a new gun or something like that.
It's mildly underwhelming so far, but I'm a little bit excited to see what they do with it because Stranger Things has so much potential to be in here.
Well, they just choose winners. Avengers, they've worked with in the past. Mm-hmm. John Wick, they've done stuff with. Mm-hmm. And they're moving on to the Stranger Things. Any cross? Oh, they did stuff with Jordan Brand.
Right.
Yeah.
They did.
They had the NFL skins thrown in there. So they're monetizing this bad boy.
Marketing.
Yeah. What do you think of Stranger Things? Anybody in here a fan?
I've never seen a episode in my life, so I cannot comment.
Intentionally? You skipping out on it?
I guess intentionally, because I definitely haven't accidentally watched it. So. Yep. Nah, I mean, there's so much media.
You still holding a grudge against Winona Ryder? Is that what it is?
Oh, man.
Once a thief, always a thief?
Hey, there's a soft spot in my heart for Winona Ryder. Are you kidding me?
She's, really?
Lydia Dietz from Beetlejuice, man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I love her forever.
She's
Zach Fifth can kiss my you-know-what.
She's in the middle of a career renaissance, and you haven't checked out her masterpiece.
Nah, I'm loving her from afar.
What about you, Nexi? Stranger Things?
I have really been wanting to watch it, but I think I've only seen like maybe two episodes. Next, and I don't even remember them.
Malik, you have to have seen it, man.
Just lie to him.
Please, just lie at this point.
I have.
And what's your favorite part?
Not.
Damn it!
An episode of Stranger Things. You know, I heard great things about it, though. Just not something that I've been able to bring my thumb to.
Yeah, it's good. It's a quick watch. Yeah. Not too many episodes. No. Both seasons, good. And I would have never guessed Fortnite, though. I wouldn't even think that was the audience. I thought Stranger Things was a little older.
Yeah, I mean, because it's got the nostalgic tip and everything.
I don't know how many 10-year-olds are like, oh, fuck yeah, Stranger Things, bro. Like,
yeah, I'm not sure either. But now... they might.
Yeah.
Because
there you go.
A Fortnite.
Yeah,
that's right.
Definitely doing something to build their audience, being like, hey, maybe check out this other thing that's not always Fortnite.
Yeah.
Word.
All right, man. It's that time everybody's been waiting for. Yes. Oblivion Comics and Coffee is hooking up Curtis Fisher with some comic books this week. to share with us. Welcome to Curtis's Comic Corner.
Shout out to Oblivion Comics and Cacophony for comics and
comics and cacophony.
Shout out to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for hooking us up with comics to read and review for y'all. I picked two kind of way far on the outside. I'm always willing to go far on the outside, but first things first, we got Fantastic Four with the series called The Prodigal Son. I did not know that this was going to be an overarching story arc that was going to go beyond this. The main reason why I picked this, and for those that might read comics with me over on my Twitch channel, Peter David is a really good writer who kind of had his heyday in the mid-90s to mid-2000s. And they brought him back for... He's known for his Hulk run. They brought him back for Hulk and gave him one issue. A lot of people loved it, so they gave him another one, and he was able to get Francesco Manna on the pencils. The art is really dope, and I was like, you know what? I haven't read any Fantastic Four comics in a really long time, and Peter David's on it, so I think this is the perfect one to give a shot. What I love about it, the art was very solid. You know, for them to throw him in on this, they didn't give him just any old artist. They gave him a dope artist, so the pencils are dope. And one of the things that I love the most about Peter David is he will give you a really interesting story arc, but his dialogue that he puts in there, it's always nice and free-flowing. It's really funny. Almost kind of reads a little bit like a sitcom. So that's really cool. But in this particular case, the Fantastic Four have to go to the Savage Land.
Ooh, the Savage Land, yeah. Where the dinosaurs roam and all that. Okay.
That's right, yeah, baby. Yeah. And once they get out there, it's I won't say exactly what, but... Who they encounter and what it leads to goes, you know, right along with the whole final Fantastic Four storyline. Oh. So I really, the art was really good. I give it at least a 3.5 out of 5. I give it a 4 out of 5.
I'm giving it a 4.
And then the storyline itself, Peter David is just a really, really cool, really funny, easy flowing writer. So so the writing I'm going to give a 4.5 out of 5. Actually, I'm going to give that a 4 out of 5 as well. So
it looks like they're bringing back in so this is a number 1. Is it like a reboot of them have they been continually making Fantastic Four, cuz I thought it was gone for a while.
It was gone for a while, and I believe it was Dan Slott that started the actual mainline run that's still going right now, and I believe it is still going right now. I feel like this is a one shot. And okay. I think the number one is really for the Prodigal Son storyline, not exactly for the Fantastic Four storyline. And these are the things that make comics weird for people on the outside.
Yeah, yeah. It's so kind of confusing because I see this one also has the kids in it, too.
Right, exactly. Franklin. Yeah, it's got Richard and Valeria in there, which they're fun and super powerful. But, no, overall, really good story. I think this kind of reminds me of like the sweet spot of comics, like where it really is about the story, but the art is good too, and it's not so new, and everything's not so gray and whatnot, like modern day, like most of modern day comics.
We had a really, that needs to be its own episode when we were after a show one time, we started talking about like just modern day storytelling,
right.
And the rise of the anti-hero and the grayness, right, of good versus evil being muddied down. Yeah. And I went into that conversation one way and left a completely different way, kind of seeing it through your scope. So I think that's super interesting. We'll have to get into a little bit more.
Definitely. We definitely will.
What else did they get you?
This one, all fun, action-packed. I had never read one of these before, and people were talking about Super Sons and Peter J. Tomasi's run. And Patrick Gleason's run for so long. And when Bendis came, it changed, and they kind of put him on a 12-issue maxi series. But fun in the sun. It's Damian Wayne, Bruce Wayne's son, and John Kent, Lois and Clark's son, Superman's son. And they teamed up together. And, like, it's all of the, like, cool, funny, like, not too young cartoon style, but... You know, they got all the puns and the jokes. It's just a good time, man. Like, from the second that I opened it up to when I flipped to the last page, it was dope. And the storyline that they had in there, the main overarching story arc, it kind of did get a little convoluted. But at the same time, the way I just viewed it is that, hey, at least they're putting effort into this story and why it develops the way it develops. But if you pay attention close enough, you can follow along. But I just enjoyed it so much, and I see, like, from when I was three pages in, I was like, I get why everybody loves this whole Super Sons thing. this easily inspired me to go back and read the whole run that Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason did that that everybody was loving. So get that one. Get it big time. It's super fun. If you love, and it's more in the vein of Young Justice than it is like Teen Titans Go or anything that. So if you guys like Young Justice, if you ever seen that cartoon before.
Love Young Justice.
Yeah, we're big Young Justice fans. We were on that show Tough, and we were waiting for the third season to come, and it did, and then it was exclusive on the DC streaming service.
Which we're all going to have to get anyways, I'm sure.
Yeah, but shout out to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for providing these books for us to watch. And also remember, if you go into Oblivion Comics and Coffee in downtown Sacramento and you mention Video Game Bang, you can get 10% off of your purchase.
Ooh, yeah. I'm on my way.
Also, can we talk about Swamp Thing?
Yeah, because it's canceled.
It's canceled. We can't talk about it. Wow, that was the show, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on the Wednesday news show. We'll be back this weekend talking about Spider-Man. That's going to be the topic. So make sure you watch the movie this week so you're ready to help us digest what we watch this weekend. Shout out to the NorCal casters, by the way. They held one of their meetups last weekend. And it was fun. Me, Curtis, Nexi was there. Mm-hmm. And there was tons. Nexus was there. And she's here. But there was so, like, if you are in NorCal and you stream or you're interested in streaming, this is the spot to go, man. Everybody who you need to know in the community was there. Jay Gist was there talking about the state fair and getting people activated for some of the stuff he's got going on. Kyle, who runs the NorCal Casters and Twitch Kittens, was there. Twitch partners in the area all come together. It's always cool just to kind of see what they're talking about, what works for them. It's the only place where you can go and like happen upon a conversation about people reviewing strange lore from Skyrim. Like, people were giving book reviews on books from Skyrim at one of the tables. Like,
the only book that matters is The Lusty Argonian Maid.
That's what I thought, but they convinced me otherwise. They said that there's better ones in there.
The one that teaches you about lockpicking is amazing because it has a final line that says, most thieves don't know how to read. So if you don't know how to read, go find somebody who knows how. And they'll read it to you. And I'm just like, this is amazing. Like, somebody wrote this in real life.
There was representatives from the SACPC gaming group. Man, everybody was there. So if you're not already, follow NorCalCasters on Instagram as well as on Twitter. And you can be up to date when they're doing their updates. Oh, this guy was there. Germanic Ogre, who just subbed for his fifth month. That dude, he bought me a few beers, got me a little messed up. I appreciate you, man. I needed that night. That was a good night. Curtis, where can people watch your streams? What's going on?
Twitch.tv/Kipintosh. Your boy is feeling healthier.
All right, let's go.
I'm getting there. So I will be streaming a little bit tomorrow. So yeah, come check me out. Comics and 2K.
All right, will Leek be there?
If I'm not, you'll catch me online, Leek for Prez, on the PSN. And, you can definitely meet me in the park.
Right. And Nexi, stream schedule, are you getting this game going?
Stream schedule is non-existent, but I have been streaming more often. I'm going to be streaming a lot of that game development, and I'm excited. On twitch.tv/NexusWasHere_, because they still won't give me the name without the underscore, even though it takes you to an empty page. Like, there's literally no account tied to it.
Yeah.
And yet they won't give it to me.
You can trolling watch is the common theme for today.
Yeah, it is. You can watch my streams, twitch.tv/whatsuppizzas. I don't announce them. I do them kind of secretly, honestly. I don't know. I don't really want to promote them just because I just like to surprise on there. I usually don't have camera, just playing some Overwatch, being really salty. But I do usually on Mondays when my wife is watching The Bachelorette. And it's a lot of fun for those who do show up. So I appreciate all those who have been going in there. But that's our show, everybody. Thank you to Mega Ran for this incredible theme song. If you missed episode 500, go back and listen to it. They're all in the archives on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Audio Boom. Anywhere you could find podcasts, you could find our show. Listen to episode 500 when we talk to Mega Ran, who helped make this theme song, as well as our good friend Janice Davis. And she gets us opening up about our pasts It was really deep. Whenever she's on, she was motivating us to, you know, be our inner artists.
Yes, yes, she was.
Yeah. So if you need a little morale boost in the middle of the week to get charged up to tackle those creative projects you've been putting on the back burner, listen to episode 500. But that is our show, everybody. Thank you so much for Curtis, Leek, Nexi. My name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.